This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal World Neurosurgery, published in 2026. It focuses on a refined surgical strategy, minimally invasive keyhole interlaminar detethering for symptomatic fatty phylum terminale in pediatric patients.
This is a topic that hits home for many of us in the pediatric world. Fatty phylum terminale, or FFT, is one of the most common causes of tethered cord syndrome in the pediatric population. Traditionally, we've relied on a standard laminectomy to achieve detethering. But as the field moves towards tissue preservation, this study evaluates the safety and efficacy of a more refined keyhole approach.
Exactly. The paper points out that while traditional detethering is effective, the requirement of a full laminectomy naturally increases surgical trauma. In a growing child, that trauma and the removal of posterior elements can lead to complications, ranging from postoperative pain to potential long-term issues with spinal stability.
Let's dive into the operative technique described. For our residents listening, the goal of any detethering for FFT is to release the abnormal tension on the conus medullaris. The keyhole interlaminar approach changes how we get there. Instead of a wide exposure, this technique utilizes a much smaller window. Alara, how did the authors describe the specific approach?
The authors emphasize a minimally invasive approach that focuses on the interlaminar space. By using a keyhole window, they can access the spinal canal while leaving the majority of the lamina and the midline structures, like the supraspinous and interspinous ligaments, intact. This is a significant shift from the open mindset. They describe it as a way to minimize the surgical footprint while still achieving the primary goal, the detethering of the symptomatic fatty phylum.
It's a classic example of the less is more philosophy in neurosurgery. In a symptomatic FFT, the phylum is usually thickened and infiltrated with adipose tissue, which prevents the normal cranial migration of the conus. When we talk about minimally invasive, some surgeons worry about visualization. Did the study address how they maintain safety through such a small window?
They did. The technique relies on high magnification visualization, either through the microscope or an endoscope, to clearly identify the fatty phylum and distinguish it from the surrounding nerve roots of the cauda equina. The keyhole is placed precisely over the level of the tethering, usually at the L5 or S1 level, allowing for a direct line of sight to the phylum terminale.
And for our practicing neurosurgeons, the efficacy of the detethering itself remains the priority. The paper notes that this keyhole approach was evaluated for both safety and efficacy. If you can achieve the same surgical release with less bone removal, you're looking at a faster recovery and potentially fewer wound complications, which is a major win in pediatric cases.
Precisely. The abstract highlights that this approach was specifically designed to reduce surgical trauma and complications. By avoiding a full laminectomy, you are essentially preserving the posterior tension band of the spine. For a pediatric patient who has decades of growth ahead of them, preserving that biomechanical integrity is crucial.
Let's talk about patient selection for a moment. The study specifies symptomatic fatty phylum terminale. This is a key distinction for the medical students listening. We're not just operating on every fatty phylum found incidentally on MRI. We're looking for clinical signs of tethered cord syndrome, urological dysfunction, lower extremity weakness, or progressive orthopedic deformities like clubfoot or scoliosis.
Right. And when those symptoms are present and the imaging confirms a low-lying conus or a thickened fatty phylum, this keyhole interlaminar approach provides a surgical pathway that is much less invasive than the traditional methods we were taught a decade ago.
It's also worth noting the interlaminar aspect. By staying between the laminae, we avoid the extensive muscle stripping required for a multi-level laminectomy. This should theoretically reduce postoperative narcotic requirements and length of stay.
The study concludes that the minimally invasive keyhole interlaminar detethering is a safe and efficacious alternative. It bridges the gap between the need for definitive surgical release and the desire to minimize the physiological impact on the child.
It's a great reminder that even for standard procedures like detethering, there is always room for technical refinement. Whether you are a resident learning the anatomy or a senior attending looking to modernize your practice, the move towards keyhole techniques is hard to ignore.
Definitely. It's about being as precise as possible.
Well, that's a perfect place to wrap up our discussion on this operative technique for fatty phylum terminale. Thank you for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.
See you next time.